Hey folks, in this episode, we're going to be demystifying something that has been, I don't want to say plaguing photographers, but at least hamstringing some photographers in terms of how to operate their businesses, and that's about how do you pay models, and if you should pay models. That's coming your way next. This is TWIP. Joining me to tackle the topic of paying models and do you not pay them? Do you pay them? If you pay them, how much? All that stuff. I brought on two awesome people that can help me understand that. And that's Lexi. Let me bring up this the split screen here. So Lexi Nicole is a Sacramento-based model, and she's been doing this for a half a decade now. And then also Troy Miller is on the show as well. You've seen Troy before. He's been on the TWIP network a lot. And Troy, along with shooting weddings, has shot or let's say photographed a lot of models over the years. So this is our panel and this is what we're going to talk about. So Lexi, I want to start with you. First of all, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, this is good. So you are, so you've been, so set the stage for your background in modeling. Like I said, you've been shooting or you've been being photographed for the better part of a decade now. Tell me how you got started in modeling and where you hope to take it.
So it's not too long or dramatic or really all that interesting a story, I would say, but I actually kind of fell into all of it by a total accident. I was a musician for a number of years before I really got into modeling, probably about 5 or 6 years. I was doing music. I had two of my own EPs out, and I was doing a lot of self-portrait work. So I was, you know, I had just simple basics of a camera, knew how to work it, but I would just, you know, put it on a timer, run back and forth, taking my own picture, upload it, see what turned out, see what poses worked, what didn't. And in my opinion, that's one of the best ways to learn because you're in an environment where you're not being judged. Well, you know, at an actual photo shoot, you're like, oh, does this look good? Does this not look good? And it can cause a little bit of tension and anxiety that way. Mm-hmm. So I was very fortunate with how I got started. And then from there, I took all of my favorite pictures that I had shot by myself over the years and uploaded them to Model Mayhem when I found out about the whole Model Mayhem site. So I had gotten started that way, and I got in contact with a photographer from Santa Cruz who to this day I still totally attribute to why I'm modeling at all. He's a spectacular photographer. His name is Tristan Kerke. Might have heard of him. He's a great person, a great friend, a great photographer. And I can't say enough positive things about him. And after that, it just kind of started taking off and more people were, you know, showing interest in working with me. And that's kind of how it's gotten started and how it's been for the last 5 odd years or so.
That's cool. So then do you plan on making this your career for the next, you know, couple decades or so? Or is this a launching board into something else?
Ideally, it would be fantastic to be able to make it into a career. But I know even from the agency models that I've spoken with since I'm all freelance work is that it's a very unreliable industry in a lot of different respects. Again, even the agency models I've spoken with say it's really hit or miss on, you know, when they get work or not. Mm-hmm. And that can be such a difficult thing because, you know, from the perspective of someone entering the industry, you're like, oh, with an agency, you'll think it'll be more consistent work working with designers, with, you know, brand name magazines, things like that. But that typically isn't actually the case. But it seems that photographers are still looking for those models that are agency represented just because it's kind of a name brand.
Sure.
More so that's one of the challenges that comes with freelance. But
yeah. All right. Well, cool. Well, let's move on to Troy. Troy, you, like I said, you've been on the show quite a bit over the years, right? So you know your way around This Week in Photo, but we haven't heard much from you on the model side of things. I typically think of you as a fine art and wedding shooter, wedding and portrait shooter. Tell me a little bit about your experience in shooting models.
The models for me have always come in an educational capacity where I'm putting on an event, we're teaching a class, we're teaching, you know, posing, lighting, things like that, proper etiquette when how to handle models. That's always a really big thing because a lot of people don't know how to pose people for one, and then second, like how to manage a model.
Yeah.
So that's always been my situation, is dealing with them in a sort of a volunteer or a trade for photos type of situation. And, you know, we're putting on an event where I'm going to be looking at getting between 50 and 100 models. And that's always a challenge. And we always invite, you know, try to get 50 or 100 because I'll get 25 or 40, you know, and I don't get those the numbers that I want. Not having worked with very many professional models in my experience, because most of my clients are weddings and portraits and things like that. So it's interesting for me to sort of hear from a model, if I ever needed a professional model, what my expectations would be. As opposed to, I know what I get when I get sort of the volunteer model side.
Yeah. And a lot of it is you're going to get what you pay for, right? And that's Troy, you and I were talking about this a little bit offline, and there's just so much. This is why I'm so glad to have Lexi on. There's so much ambiguity in the space and fear. And a lot of it is, you know, fear from a photographer that wants to pursue this genre of photography, but then they're scared because they're like, I don't know where to find a model. And when I do find one, I don't know if I should pay her or should she be paying me? And how much do I pay her? And, you know, all that stuff. So that's the topic and that's the thrust of this conversation. So Lexi, your Facebook post, which was the impetus of this whole conversation that I saw over the weekend, which was great in that, you know, it kind of shed a light on it, you know, from a model's perspective. Why don't you go ahead and tell us, you know, kind of reiterate what you were saying in the Facebook post about, you know, who should be paying whom and why?
So, of course, whenever the subject of payment comes up, it's a very difficult thing in a lot of circumstances to kind of determine. So every situation is going to be different. It's all situational. It's all going to be depending on each individual collaboration, because at the end of the day, it's two people working towards a common goal. You guys are partners. You're a team in this. But so what had sparked my post initially was I had gotten a message on Instagram, actually, from a photographer based out of Las Vegas. Obviously, I am not based out of Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And they sent me a message, said, hey, you know, your work is spectacular. I'm really impressed with what you're producing. If you're ever in Vegas, let me know. I'll give you like discounted rates, essentially. And put it in a way where it seemed like they were expecting me to travel to them and bring, you know, all of my things with me and then still pay them on top of that. And I think a lot of the times that's really difficult is photographers forget how much it is that models invest in their craft as well. I mean, especially someone like me who's been doing it for 5 years. And, you know, I do more than just stand in front of a camera and pose. This is, you know, a huge, huge part of my life that I've dedicated, you know, the last 5 years to.
Yeah.
I took a portion of photography. I went to school for photography for a short amount of time. I went to school for fashion design. So, you know, I create custom wardrobe for photo shoots. I make headdresses, you know, and even the simple economics of it, of, you know, having to purchase hair products or makeup or things like that for shoots, or, you know, just even more original wardrobe if, you know, the fabric that I have to spend on it, and not even counting, you know, the time that I invest in creating all of this to create an image. So it's a lot of people forget about those things and forget the model's contributions too. Because of course,
That's the thing. I think that's where a lot of the confusion might come in, right? Because it's you may do all that, but not all models are doing that, and not all models are created equal, and not all photographers are created equal. So Troy, I want to throw it to you. So what do you say, like, when that statement, not all models are created equal, not photographers are created equal, Lexi's bringing a lot to the table in terms of, you know, posing and production, but not all models do that. How do you, as a veteran photographer, suggest new photographers dive into this and know what and what not to pay a model?
That's tough for me. I don't because I've never had to hire a model and pay them. So I'm kind of on that end of like, wow, you know, it's always great to have a model that comes in and is prepared and brings, you know, costumes based on what we need to do. And I know that I work with some models that are professional models, but we're doing that in trade for work because the event that we're doing is big, right? Like, you know, we bring in classic cars and like she may want to add that to her portfolio. So she's very happy to take that. On the other side of that if I was to go to a model like Lexi and say, hey, I'm going to do this shoot, I need you to come to Vegas, I would certainly never expect to be paid to photograph her. that to me was totally, that just blows my mind that that even exists.
You were dealing with an idiot there, Lexi.
Quite a bit.
But you say it happens a lot, and that just blows my mind, because I'm used to working with people in as a collaboration all the time, right? And I always want to make sure, even when we have like models come in that we're trading for work, I make sure as an instructor we photograph each model, because they're there, they need those images, right? So to me, that pay is a big deal to them.
Yeah.
Most of the models come in, they're pre-dressed, they have like a single costume, we're going to work with that, you know, that whole thing. Most of the models that I've dealt with, they're not great at posing, so I'm the guy who's going to manipulate them. I'm going to say, here's what I need you to do. So I've never worked with anybody that, short of a ballerina, now they just stand beautifully no matter what they do. But you know, so as a photographer coming in hiring somebody, I guess Lexi would maybe be better to say, look, here's what I can bring to the table as a pro, and this is what you're paying for.
But how do you work that out, Lexi, on say Instagram, or not Instagram, but on Model Mayhem? How do you work that out? And do you work that out with photographers beforehand? Notwithstanding this crazy dude in Vegas, right? You're working with a normal photographer. How do you work out, okay, this is a trade shoot or this is a payment shoot, you know, so that there's no surprises when you show up at the location?
So for me, usually what I do, I don't really book too much off Model Mayhem anymore, because I found over the years it's kind of declined in quality. Just there's been so many spam accounts that have just been popping up when they used to really be good at cracking down on that. Mm-hmm. But as far as, you know, payment and negotiations, as far as that go, I have a select group of photographers personally that I've been working with for the last 4 or 5 years who I'm familiar with. I know their styles. They know my style of work. So I typically will go to that select group if I have specific trade projects that I really want to work on, whether it's my concept or theirs. And we've established this relationship ongoing where if, even if they're not paying me, they still show me that they respect my time by either just, you know, getting me images back really quickly. I've had some incredible photographers. One of them, who I just found within the last 2 years or so, his name's Edward. And the night of shoots, he was getting the images back. Wow. And he was really great. If he didn't pay me, the first couple shoots we worked together, he was paying me because they were just kind of events that he wanted me on with. And but other than that, if he wasn't paying me, sometimes like every once in a while, he'd, you know, take me out to lunch or take me out to dinner after a shoot, like just as kind of a thank you and a showing that like my time is respected and he understands, you know, the value of my time.
Yeah.
And to me, like, I really appreciate that. I have, you know, countless photographers who I've worked with over the years on a trade basis who have just been phenomenal in that way. I've been very, very lucky, I feel like, because in this industry, it can be so difficult to mesh well with people. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I've established a lot of great relationships. But typically, when someone contacts me who I haven't worked with, they'll say, hey, you know, this is what I'm looking for. I think you'd fit great for this project. And if it's something I'm interested in, usually I'll allow my rates to be a little more negotiable, or we'll potentially, you know, talk into working trade depending on the skill level. Mm-hmm. Because that has a lot to play into it too, because I don't want to be working trade projects that aren't going to be benefiting my portfolio anyway.
Yeah.
It would basically be me just like, you know, a photographer working weddings for free. You know, weddings are, you know, expensive either way. Right. And the photographers deserve to be paid, especially for weddings that are typically high stress environments and do require a lot of versatility and skill.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the same concept in that way of, you know, you want to be getting something beneficial out of it either way. So yeah, it's really on a case by case basis.
And that's what I want to get into. I want to get into that as well. I want to talk about rates for one, but then also, Troy, I want to have you chime in on just how, and we talk, I think we've talked about this on This Week in Photo before, but how do you know when you're ready to even be charging someone? So like, how do you, and then the misconception both from the model side and the photographer side, you know, the, we'll call it the skill set dysmorphic disorder, where you think you're better than you actually are, you know?
Yeah, that's,
you know, you can write that down. Skill set dysmorphic disorder. Yeah. So Lexi, let's start with you on, in terms of rates. So you mentioned rates, like what do you charge? Like what's a rate for somebody that's got 5 years of experience in the business? What do you charge?
So for me, depending on the project, my rates are anywhere between $50 and $100 an hour. Typically, they're at $100 an hour, and that's with me supplying everything. coming, you know, hair, makeup, wardrobe ready, like ready to start shooting the minute I get on location. I do $50 an hour or sometimes $50 flat rates, depending on, you know, if it's a project that I'm talking to a photographer about who may not necessarily be at the same skill level, but who I really want to bring on board with the project. But again, that goes back to the skill level thing on whether it would be a trade or, you know, paying me. But usually I don't contact photographers directly and have them say like, hey, you're going to pay me to do this project, because right. that just seems kind of counterproductive to me.
Right. But
usually it's I'll post up, hey, I'm doing this concept. If you're interested in booking, it's this much. And then, you know, see kind of who catches on and who's interested in being part of that concept or that idea. But for the most part, I keep my rates at $100 an hour, just because, you know, that's coming with headdresses, original wardrobe, prop, me figuring out location most of the time, which seems to be kind of almost expected more often than not anymore. But that's usually where I'm at as far as rates go. And then determining rates, especially, you know, for beginner models, the way it happened for me was I was told that I should be charging. I had been working, I don't even think a year professionally at that point. And I had a photographer who I'd worked with who was from out of town. It was just, you know, a trade shoot. I was still building my portfolio. I had pink hair. I was probably 16. And he's like, you know, you're really impressive. Your work quality is there. You know, you are easily directed and need minimal direction, if any. So I started my rates out at just a solid 25 an hour, or just, you know, would take it project by project, would do sometimes just flat rates, but starting out small. And then I had a photographer when I was working in the Bay Area who told me that I was undercharging. Mm-hmm. So from there, I realized I should bump my rates up. And then after I got to the 5-year mark, I was kind of like, you know what, I've been doing this for this amount of time now. I know what my skill set is. I know what I bring to the table. Like, photographers often tell me the fact that I don't need to be directed, and they're always blown away by that and just my natural ability to pose myself and know what looks good in front of a camera. Sure. So bringing that to the table along with my skill set with the wardrobe and costume design, I feel like my rates are well worth it for, you know, the right photographer.
Yeah, yeah, of course. And you got to charge what you think you're worth, right? So, but Troy, throwing it over to you, starting from a photographer standpoint, how do photographers know, like, what's the signpost when you know that, hey, I'm good enough to charge for my work, you know, especially in this genre, working with models, I'm good enough to charge versus do a trade or even ask the model to pay me? How do you know that?
It's you know, that's tough in all aspects of all business, whether it's weddings or it's model shooting or it's whatever. It's this perceived value. Yeah. Right. It's what can I produce and what is the expected return for the investment? So I guess the best thing to do is to underpromise and overdeliver, no matter where you are. Look at the work. Look at what somebody else is doing. If you know, if looking at Lexi's Instagram, you know, like she's gone out with a wolf and done these amazing things in the woods. You know, like if you can't see how that image is created immediately by looking at that, you're not as good as the photographer that took that.
Right.
So it's not a quantifiable kind of thing to look at you and go, oh, you're at skill set B, and for B your rate is this, or you should be expected to pay. You have to be able to look at the images around you and go, oh yeah, I know exactly how you created that. I can do that. Mm-hmm. And where does that fall? Or I've entered competitions, or I have my degree, or I've done these type of things. I know that I can produce. Right. So that's no different than for me shooting a wedding. I know that when I look at work and I go to a bride and they look at my work, I'm like, yeah, I can do that. That I can do that in the rain. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I know that I can deliver. And I guess for a photographer to go to somebody like Lexi and say, okay, I'm going to pay you $100 an hour for you to come with me, whether she chooses to work with me or not, I know that I'm going to be able to do that amount of work. Yeah. If she's going to go to a photographer, that guy has to make sure that he can produce a portfolio just like a model does. Look at a website, look at your work, get critiques from other people, not your closest friends, mm-hmm. you know, other yeah. people, right. not social media either. That's how you're going to figure out where you fall. And then And then, you know, it's just like anything, like if I hire a model, I can only look at her work. I'm hoping that she can produce that until I've worked with her.
Yeah, it's almost like we need like a standards organization where you have to, you know, you say, hey, I'm a photographer. I've been doing it for X years and I want to start charging. So you have to go through this barrage of tests to sort of like a certification program to say, oh, yeah, you are ready and you can charge this rate. You
know? Yeah, because years behind the camera doesn't mean you deserve that amount of money.
No.
You know, I certainly agree with that.
In the wedding industry, I always say, like, you know, when it, for $500, you probably don't need to know how to pose a bride and you don't need to know how the whole day goes. But for $5,000, you better know how to solve every issue. You better know how to tie a dress. You better know how to do a veil. And photographers are the same thing. I mean, if you want a model to come to you, you got to be impressive. Like, you know, we're going to sit on the space shuttle or, you know, like right. you got to make them want to be there.
Right, right. Yeah, you got to create an enticing environment for the shoot. All right, let's shift gears a little bit before we end this. We're about almost 20 minutes in. So I want to shift gears and talk about, Lexi, I'm going to pick your brain on this because Instagram, right? So Troy and I were talking earlier about Instagram portfolios versus website portfolios. And what's the norm these days for models? You know, and some photographers, but in the case of this conversation, models. You have an Instagram profile, right? And that's, you have a lot of photos up there. Is that your go-to place for people to hire you, or do you have a website that goes along with that? How does that work?
So typically speaking, anymore, I do most of my work off either Facebook or Instagram, just because I'm able to, you know, set an album. And, you know, most portfolios you think of, you know, the printed pieces, and, you know, you get 5 or 10 images that really, really shine that you get to showcase. The only positive thing about having a social media profile versus having that, for example, is you get to showcase a lot more of your work, because, you know, it'll take maybe 5 minutes for someone to scroll through and be able to get a visual idea of what sort of work you're able to do and to produce. As far as websites go, I currently do not have one. I used to, but I found more often than not, just with how much people use social media, it's more beneficial to have a social media profile for people to hop on over to, because, I mean, most of us, let's say we're all guilty of it. We're all almost on Facebook all day for the most part, Facebook or Instagram, or we're switching between the two apps. I know I'm guilty of it all day long.
Yep.
And so I found more often than not, it's easier, especially if you're having a conversation with someone through Facebook, to say, oh, if you want to see more of my work, here's either my Facebook page or my Instagram profile. They'll click the link and take it right to, you know, the digital portfolio, which I think is a really great resource versus, oh, here's my website, where people kind of hear that and see that and they're like, oh, it's going to take a little more effort to get to that, especially if it's a poorly designed website, because, you know, that whole aspect of web design then comes into play as well, because if it's a poorly designed website and it's difficult to navigate, people aren't going to want to use it. They're not going to want to look at your stuff, especially if it's not professional looking, which
That's
is
interesting. Yeah. Cause it almost sounds like what you're talking about is the democratization of like how you're going to look at your images. Whereas before with like websites and whatnot, it's like, okay, you can get judged on your web design and how this is laid out and how fast your website loads. And, you know, yeah. And people can judge you on that as well as the photos. But when you abstract all that out and just say, hey, we're all on the same platform, the platform disappears and it becomes about the work and the person that you hire. Troy, do you agree with that at all? I mean, you got websites and you're in that world. What do you think about
that? I have everything. I have too many things. I have too many things. I mean, our website for me is a portfolio. It's an online gallery is really what it is. And we get a lot of our work from referrals, which I agree with what you're saying, Frederick. I wondered, Alexi, if somebody's looking for a model, how do they find you? How would they find a professional model like yourself? Because the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go to a website, right? And I'm going to start doing a search. How do I find that Instagram account? Or do you not want to be found that way? Are you working by referral only? Or are you trying to work more closely by referrals, I guess?
So typically I will work by referrals, especially since I've been up here in Sacramento. It's the thing I love about Sacramento, it's very community. So, you know, one person knows one person knows one person, and, you know, word tends to get around about people pretty quick around here from what I found. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's not necessarily about not wanting a website, but I also just understand the concept of you are going to be judged by everything that you put out there. So again, if your website isn't quality for, you know, even just a simple error message or something that pops up, or an image not loading as high res as you had wanted it to, that can directly reflect whether a person's going to want to work with you or not. So as far as finding a model, I think it really, it can be difficult, especially anymore with so many people out there trying to break into this industry. So weeding out the professionals versus, you know, the people who are just starting out, just trying to build their portfolios, can be a pretty difficult thing unless you're, you know, working with other photographers as well and getting referrals of certain models from them and figuring out, you know, who's at what kind of level. And it's really from just the way I work. It's mainly word of mouth. It's mainly, you know, me talking to other photographers or talking to other models about people. And that's usually the way that, you know, I've found some of the most incredible people that I've worked with. And one thing that's helpful as well is going on to like Facebook groups, seeing who's being active in those groups, because a lot of the time that's going to tell you. And a lot of the times too, if you just go to their Facebook profile, for example, look what their profile picture is, mm-hmm. and you'll be able to tell, okay, this is just a selfie, which means they don't have something they necessarily really want to scream to the world and showcase. Like for me, like pretty much all I put on my Facebook is my modeling stuff, because again, it's just like my entire world is my modeling.
Yeah.
So that's usually the kind of game that I try to play with things as far as finding new talent to work with.
Yeah, yeah. Trey, are you gonna switch to just using an Instagram profile as your main site?
No.
It's like, I mean, but I say that tongue in cheek. You can't do that because you're.
I can't.
Yeah,
no.
The genre that you work in, it's weddings. It's you know, people are paying thousands of dollars and they want to know that you are worth thousands of dollars, right?
And
you
know? And marketing is hard though, because I need to market a little bit in Instagram. I need to market a little bit in person. I need to have, you know, a gallery online that a bride can go through. And I mean, model's going to be the same way, right? I'm going to go through, I'm going to peel through your work all the way back to the very beginning on Instagram with, I think it's you on stage, right? I'm going to go back. I'm going to look. I want to know what your history is. And yeah. So you have to put that content out there. I get that. I guess for me, the hard part is, you know, like, ooh, now I'm going to go do this shoot and I got this really cool idea and I need to find a good model.
Yeah.
What are some things that I would look at in a model to make sure that, you know, I'm not hiring some psycho.
Yeah.
Because it goes both ways, right?
It does, mean, totally.
There's not a doubt. And with hiring models, it can be so difficult. For me, I've found one of the biggest complaints that I hear from photographers about models is models' inability to pose themselves. And to me, if you're going to be a model, you should be able to bring that to the table. Like, why are you a model if you don't know how to pose yourself? To me, that's just almost crazy. I understand everybody wants to do it. You know, everybody wants to be in this industry. This industry is kind of almost idolized in some form or fashion. But to me, that's the basics of it all. Yeah. Go take modeling classes. Go, you know, do something. It doesn't matter necessarily how well you know how to market yourself, but for the love of God, know how to pose.
Yeah. I mean, it's a collaboration, right? It's a collaboration between the photographer who should know his f-stop, shutter speeds, ISOs, and lighting, and all that stuff. The photographer's bringing that to the table, and the model should be bringing, you know, the look that the photographer is looking for, as well as the ability to know how their bones and muscles work together so that they can look the most attractive as possible. So, yeah. So Lexi, I want to close this off with billing and just sort of some, you know, like housekeeping. How does that work? And I'm asking this from pure ignorance. Like, how does that work? If a photographer hires you off of, let's say, Instagram, let's say a photographer sees you on Facebook and they're like, oh yeah, this is the look I need. And they go to your Instagram profile, they scroll through and they're like, yep. And then they message you. How does the money exchange happen from that point forward?
So usually the way I'll set it up is I'll require anywhere from $50 to $100 deposit beforehand, any more, because unfortunately I found, you know, photographers can be just as flaky sometimes as models can.
Oh, yeah.
So
no. Humans.
Usually I'll have them send them send me some sort of deposit that, you know, depending on the project and the rates, but I'll always have a deposit sent beforehand, either through, you know, Facebook, since, you know, you can do that now, or, but more often than not through PayPal, and I'll have them send it, you know, either as family and friends or something. So there's not charges on either end. So I'll make sure to get that in hand first. So then if they have any reason that they cancel, that's, you know, just more flakiness than anything else, then I have something to fall back on, at least.
Yeah, and it's non-refundable, right?
Yeah, it's pretty, modeling is a pretty big source of my income. I mean, I do still work a normal job that I love, but, you know, it's still a good portion of, you know, what I do in my day-to-day life. I'm always working on marketing myself, but any payment beyond that usually gets paid the day of. It's a little difficult because it's, again, a case-by-case basis, but most of the time I'll do the shoot and then I'll have them pay me in cash afterwards. But that can be really difficult because you have to determine whether that photographer is going to be trustworthy or not to actually pay you.
Right.
So far, I haven't had any issues with the people who have agreed to pay me. They've all paid me the exact rates that they said they would, either a couple days after through PayPal, which gives me anxiety sometimes. Yeah, but usually everybody's great about giving me cash, you know, the minute we're done shooting. So I've been very fortunate in that way.
You have been lucky. Yeah, I would say, you know, at least get a deposit up front. If not, get your fee up front. But you don't want that person that says, hey, you know what, let's just do the shoot real quick and then I'll PayPal you the money after, and then they hop in the car and they're gone. They got the images of you and they haven't paid for them. Because, you know, I'm sure it brings out the worst in a lot of people where they're like, you know what, hey, I already got the shot. Why? I could use that money to go do this other thing, you know, and then never see you again. You know, Troy, do you have any advice on that?
You know, that's just sort of like upping your skill to evaluate a human, right? Yeah. Like there's no way to do that. You just got to have that dialogue, have that conversation. I guess, you know, if I was to see a model that had no profile online at all, I'm going to assume that maybe I can't trust her because I don't know. I don't have any history.
Yeah, of course.
Same thing for a photographer. I mean, if you go look at somebody's profile and they've been around for 20 years and they got, you know, a lot going on, we're like, oh, that guy's probably a better bet. Yeah. You know, I mean, and I guess a lot of dialogue, right? Just have that dialogue and talk back and forth and make sure that you meld on your ideas and the concepts and there's a lot of agreement.
Love it. Love it. Cool. All right. Well, let's close it off there. Any parting thoughts? Lexi, I'll let you go first. Any parting thoughts for photographers that are watching this?
Well, I would just say take everything as it comes. Take everything as a case-by-case basis. Pay your models if you feel like they deserve to be paid. If you're expecting them to bring everything and figure everything out and you just tag along, please pay your models because you're basically putting your job on them then. Because, you know, again, all projects are supposed to be a collaboration. Yep. I always appreciate, if nothing else, a photographer figures out the location to me. So just things like that. But again, it's a case-by-case basis. It's always a collaboration. It's always a partnership. And at the end of the day, you have to put a certain amount of trust into, you know, your partner with these things. Yeah. So just do what you can to always get the best images you can and don't get discouraged when things don't always work out is, I guess, all that I can really say in closing about that.
And if people want to hire you and bring you on to, you know, for a shoot, obviously paid, where can they find you and connect with you?
So you can either find me on Facebook or Instagram, Lexi Lovestruck, Lexy, say spell first name, will pretty much be my tag for all of my social media. I am on Tumblr. I am on Snapchat. I'm on pretty much every social media outlet that's out there just because that tends to be the best way for me to market. So, again, under Lexi Lovestruck on any social media is pretty much the easiest and most direct way to contact me to shoot.
Perfect. Yeah. And I'll link to all that stuff in the blog post for this episode. Troy, what about you, man? For the people who may not know who you are, where should they go to connect with you?
On Instagram, just at Spicy Jello or SpicyJello.com. You can see my fine art stuff and you can find me everywhere from there. So
Spicy Jello. Love that name. You gotta love the Spicy Jello.
I am you just because of the name.
It's easy to remember.
It leaves an impression. That's a good thing.
It does. Or Jello doesn't really leave any kind of impression. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Oh, you got it.
Thank you for having me.
Okay.
Thank
See you next time. Peace.
Bye.
This is Twip.